the level of a good Rishir, just trying to understand the formulation of this halacha. The Mishnah tells us that sukkah above 20 amos is psula. There are different reasons that are given, and the reason we're focusing on is the third reason, Rava's reason, which brings the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim's reason that we accept. The reason why a sukkah above 20 amos is psula is because of the problem of diras keva. When you build something more than 20 amos, by definition, you're building it in a very, very strong structural way, and that's the problem. The Torah says the sukkah stays for shivas yamim, implying that 7 days, yes, but more than that, no. You're not supposed to build a sukkah in such a permanent manner. A sukkah above 20 is not acceptable. But it might raise the problem, if you're really concerned with the sukkah shel keva, why if I make it for a couple of days, and it's very, very small, I make it out of iron, I make it out of cement, I make it out of concrete, make it out of something that's so sturdy, that clearly it's going to mimic a diras keva. Well, there's not enough, don't worry about that, that's okay. Nothing wrong. You can have the strongest machitz in the world, because the halacha of diras arai versus diras keva was set in terms of the sheer of the sukkah, the size of the sukkah. It wasn't said in terms of the structure, in terms of the building materials. That's the way it is. The question is, how do we know that's the way it is? How do we figure that out? The Torah just says, the Sukkah Teish Shivas Yamim. The Teish about that teaches us that implies Shivas Yamim below Yosef. You're not supposed to build it in a way that's stronger, that's more permanent. How in the world do we know? Where do we get to the point that this halacha is only determined by the sheer sukkah, not by the building materials itself? The Rashi gave a very, very difficult answer for us to understand. Rashi said that it's impossible to say that a sukkah has to be arai versus keva. It can't be. Not shach to say such a thing. Why? Says Rashi, because when you build a sukkah keva, by definition, you also built it arai. Keva is arai plus. Keva is, you built X amount, you built it for a certain degree of sturdiness, and then you added to it. You built a better sukkah. Rashi says it doesn't make any sense to disqualify a sukkah shel keva. You want to tell me that there's a shiur, not a shiur of arai, there's a shiur of arai, a shiur of keva. You want to tell me that's the way it is, that more than 20 is no good? Okay, shiur make it smaller. But to tell me that if you built it out of a couple of twigs, it's okay, and then you make it out of metal, it's not okay, that doesn't make any sense. Because metal is twigs plus. Strong mechitzas are light mechitzas plus. That's the Rashi.
So why
is the shear
not?
Oh, see, why don't we say the same thing? When I have a 20, so I have 10 plus. Oh, excellent. So the Chori have to say that once you're in the realm of the shiurim, we have a principle in Allah called Yesh Shalamat, Yesh Shalamala. There are certain mitzvahs that have a minimum shear to them and a maximum shear to them. So I could say that once you're in the realm of shiurim, it's almost like Xerus, like there's a gospel type of thing, that the Torah says that it has to be X amount of dimension. You want to tell me that in Hilchos Dimensions, Hilchos Shiurim, there are certain guidelines, both minimum and maximum, that I can buy. To tell me within the Chemsa group of the Sukkah, that's much more difficult. Again, it's a very difficult time, a very difficult to think. That's what my Rashi says. So it is clear from our Sugya that there are other Rishonim who do not accept this. It's clear from our Sugya that there are Rishonim who say that in Ochinami, that if you build the Sukkah Shal Keva, it will be puzzled. Now, no one's going to say that mechitza shabbat, the metal walls are going to disqualify the sukkah. That the Gemara said explicitly is not true. But there are some Rishonim who do say that if and when you build the sukkah in a certain manner that it reaches, passes the threshold of keva, whatever that threshold is, it is going to become puzzled. If we can discover any of those Rishonim who say that, then obviously Rashi's shot in the sukkah cannot be correct. Rashi is telling us it's inconceivable to ever, ever, ever possible to speak with keva. I'm going to show you 2 minutes from now that the Rishonim said it is. The Rishonim said beferish that there is such a thing as a sukkah shel keva being sula. What's the context of those Rishonim? So take a look at Tosus, the third of the Ramakamos. Tosus poses the following question. Second line, so the end of the second line of the third of the Ramakamos. The Imtana. The kevan below chashinon, elishatahe ru'uya la sosaroi. Once you just told me that it doesn't really have to be arai, a sukkah doesn't really have to be temporary, it just has to be fit to be temporary, i.e. it has to be the shear being temporary, even though you personally made it very, very strong, you made it with cement wall, it could withstand the hurricane, it's going to be there for the next 50 years, it's perfectly okay, says Tosfos, as long as it's the size of arai, in Cain, it tells the following question from left field in Cain. Amai Omar, Gishamim Sim Klol B'Chag. Famous Gemara in Masechet Tainus in our days that says that rain is a bad thing on Sukkot. Rain is a sign of almost a curse from a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Sukkot, especially in Eretz Yisrael. It's not quite yet the rainy season. All of a sudden it starts to rain on Sukkot. Oh, it shows that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really want us to sit in the Sukkah. So that's the problem. That's what we call a Sivan Klola. Yes, it tells us, why is it such a big Sivan Klola? Hello, Yachol Igvoa HaNasarim V'masmeirim. Shlo Yerdu Bisham V'Sukkah. That tells us, what kind of curse is it? What's so terrible? Why is it such a curse? You could sit in the Sukkah in the rain. How can I sit in the Sukkah in the rain? I'll nail down the Sukkah. I'll take planks of wood. I'll nail them down. I'll make a really solid, strong ceiling that no rain is going to fall in. And I'll sit and I'll enjoy my Sukkah meal. What's wrong with that? But Tosa says, what's wrong with that clearly is that such a Sukkah is tshuva. Because if such a Sukkah would be ksheira, if it would be possible, if it would be halakhically feasible to nail down the Sukkah and to prevent the rain from coming in, then if that would be true, then there's no reason to call rain a Sivan Klola b'chag. It also says it's clear as day from the fact that Chazal called it a Sivan Klola, called it a curse, called it a bad thing. It's a raya of ruah, it's an absolute proof that such a Sivan would be psula. It also says, and what's wrong with such a Sivan? What's the problem with that? Tell me what the psula is. The Sukkah is made out of material that grew in the ground, the material that planks the wood, they're not coming to the not attached yet. What is wrong with such a Sukkah? The Tosu says, Ora, the answer, what's wrong with such a Sukkah is, if you take a look, two lines from the bottom, skip down a little bit in Tosu, two lines from the bottom, V'yesh Lomai, he the lo chashidem the defunos, the oven lo keva, v'kam makom, v'schocha, she'ikar ha-sukkah, al-shem ha-schach, lo miskashra ad the oven lo ha-roi. The Tosu says, when it comes to the walls of the Sukkah, which are almost secondary to the actual chesed of the sukkah, then the halacha says, make it as kev as you want, and it's perfectly okay. When it comes to the schach, you can't make the schach kevla, because that's the shem sukkah. A sukkah, a nikra shem schach, and therefore even the mere making of the schach kevla is going to be a problem. So what Tosfos just developed for us is the following. There are two halachas of kevla, brisket taisus. There are two dinim of kevla. There's a din of kevla as it relates to the walls, there's then if Kev is related to the Schach. When it comes to the wall, so then there is no actual halacha to require a roi. As long as it's a shia roi, that's good enough. When it comes to the Schach, that's a whole different ballgame. When it comes to the Schach, not only is there a din of a shia, it has to be a mama shel roi, and therefore nailing down the Schach is going to pass on the sukkah on a level of deraita. So you see clear from Tosfos. Tosfos disagreed with Rashi. Rashi says, you can't possibly sukkah because of keva. Finish. End of discussion. So it's not true. You can possibly sukkah because of keva. By schach, by defunos you can't, but by schach you actually can. What prompted Tosfos to this conclusion? That a sukkah which has schach of kviyos meaning nailed down schach, is possible. So Tosfos brought almost a roundabout raya. Tosfos, the raya is on the fact that rain is a simen klola, because if you had the potential, you had the ability to nail down the Schach, that wouldn't be true. Is that necessarily the most ironclad Raya? Can we disagree with that Raya? So many Achareb disagree with the Raya on many, many different levels. The Pnei Yeshua suggests in our Sugya that those are not necessarily correct. That you could nail down the Schach. But you know what? Go take a survey. How many people nail down the Schach? Nail this up, pain in the neck to nail down the Schach. A normal person built the sukkah, threw up his bamboo, didn't bother that. He could have if he wanted to. He couldn't nail that schach, but he didn't. And now all of a sudden it comes the first time that it starts pouring. So what is that? Is that a simon klola? Is that a simon bracha? That's a simon klola. In theory, he could have if he wanted to nail that schach, but he didn't nail that. Nobody nailed 99.9% of Christ, so don't nail down the schach. So therefore, rain is still considered to be a simon klola. He could have, should have, would have. As we say, could have, should have, would have, but didn't. So at the end of the day, he didn't nail down the Schach. At the end of the day, the rain is still considered to be a Simen Klola. So Tosfos brought a Raya, almost like a metaphysical Raya. It's a Simen Klola, that Menah, you see, for me, it's a Simen Klola, that he didn't have the option of nailing down the Schach. They should have lawyers, but he could have nailed down the Schach. Nothing would have happened. It wouldn't have rained. He would have been okay. But he did. Most people don't do that. Therefore, it's still a Simen Klola.
Why isn't Tosfos use of Gemara when the Gemara says you need more sail than sun? By that statement alone, you need both. Meaning that the Gemara is saying you need more sail than sun, but there's a component there.
It doesn't necessarily mean to say you need any sun. It's just saying that if you have chamsa, rumi tilsa, it's no good. If you have silk rumi chamsa, you can have silk rumi chamsa 51 to 49, 85 to 15, or 100 to 0. When silk, you can have absolutely no air spaces in the sukkah, maybe it would be kosher. So Taita says no, Taita says it's impossible. If rain can't get into the sukkah, that's a dirit keva, and it's absolutely possible in the Torah. Today, Yeshua said, it's not necessarily a rashi. Comes to the Kivagur and adds on to the refutation of the rashi. Comes to the Kivagur and says, a person builds a sukkah and looks at the weather forecast. It's been sunny for the next week in Phoenix. He builds a sukkah. And all of a sudden, he's sitting in the sukkah, Yantif night, a little bit of a change of forecast, all of a sudden it starts to rain. He can't nail in the sukkah right now. You know why? Because it's Yantif. No, I'm bored with Yantif. So for him, it's Mamshi. So in theory, he could have, but now the mighty can't. If Yeshua just said, in theory, he could have, now it's a pain in the neck, and he might want to stop scrambling, nailing in the schach. Says, you couldn't, if you would have wanted to nail the schach, because it's Yantif. So the Gedolei Acharonim say that Taizu Niraya, the fact that the rain is a sibling kloa, that's an ironclad proof that you're not allowed to nail the sock. That's a kvius, not necessarily a raya. So what? I think as much chach as you put on, if you don't mamish nail it in and make mamish the ceiling, it's going to rain. It's going to drip. It may take a few minutes to drip, take a few hours. It's eventually going to drip in. It's actually going to be difficult to
nail.
If you nail down your planks of wood, your mamish make a ceiling. You make a roof.
The nailing that keeps out of the amount of stuff you put on, how you put it on. Okay. And the mission says you can put it all out of stock. And really, you can layer your stuff in such a way that.
Okay. So Tosa says, Tosa is assuming that if you make your stock in such a way that it's impossible for the rain to come in, whether with nails or the last stock, whatever the case may be, that's all called Vinyan Keva. That's all right. It's not the nails per se, it's the Vinyan Keva Shibam. So where else did Tosfos get this idea from? This idea that somehow putting on too much chach ruins the sukkah. Then it says, you never heard of this before. Mishnah talks about Tosfos, chamta. Whoever heard of putting on too much chach as being a problem? So Tosfos brought a very, very interesting raya from the rain, but we're not so sure that's a raya. Other achmanim are not so sure about that raya.
But in Rashi, where you have a robe that's in vatel, you would say that there's no chamta at all when you have mostly sail.
Right. You don't need halachic chama. You just need physical rain. Because if you have no rain, then you have a big.
I'm not saying that. That shows you that Kata Rashi, there's no such thing as having too much.
Okay, maybe it happens to be Rashi. You're correct. Rashi probably disagrees with the Tosfos. So where else did Tosfos get this? Very, very strange. We learned the whole Masechet Sukkah, and it doesn't say anywhere explicitly that too much chach ruins the sukkah.
The Mishnah
says Tzilzim Rumi Chamsa. Okay.
Is
it
not
a
Mishnah that you can have as much chach as you want?
No. The Mishnah just talks about different ways of putting on. The Mishnah never ever says you can put so much on, pile it on so high that they don't ring it through, that's still kosher. No. Tzilzim told the Tzilzim Apostle.
No, but it never says that
That's right. So we have to see where does Tosfos get it from. So Tosfos already showed you the first raya. The first raya is the fact that rain is a simin klola. So you don't like the raya. You like today's shorter the kivega. You don't like the raya. So we're still looking for another raya. You're not going to have to look for another raya. But then look at the fourth of the Rambam comes. So the Gemara says a sukkah of chet of the base. Tana Rabbanan. Dan Bach. If you have a sukkah, the Rav following Rosh Teva, the sukkah is going to be kshera. What is the sukkah's Gan Bach? Sukkah's goyim. Sukkos Noshim, Sukkos Behema, Sukkos Kusim. A sukkah wasn't built for the normal purposes of building a sukkah for Yantif. So it was built by Goyim. Why did Goyim build a sukkah? He's building a hut out in the backyard somewhere. He's just putting a little place to hang out in the fall time. And the sukkah is good. A sukkah is Noshim. If women build a sukkah, and they're not building it for the purposes of a sukkah, they're not even chayavos in sukkah. So all of the sukkahs that are being mentioned were not really made with shema. They weren't made for the mitzvah for the yontif sukkahs or sukkahs behema. The person built the sukkah in order to protect his animals or sukkahs kusim. So kusim are not the same as goyim, but a different group of people who are almost like goyim. Any of these kinds of sukkahs were not really built for the purposes of the mitzvah for yontif. So the Gemara says that's okay. Sukkah become makom ksheira, doesn't matter. The sukkah is still good. There is no halacha that requires lishma the building of a sukkah. Actually, machlekes atenoyim, but we pass in halacha that a sukkah does not require lishma. The Rishalmi says that even though we pass in the ikar adin, a sukkah does not require lishma. Lechatchila, once you build a little bit of the sukkah lishma, if a person had a sukkah that was built by a non-Jew or from the Hamas or things like that, then we insist that lechatchila you should take some of the schach off and put it back on. Not all the schach, take two pieces of schach and throw it back onto the sukkah again lishma. As a hiddur lechatchila, but the evid, even if it was built entirely by goyim, by Nashim, etc., the sukkah is kshel. However, the Brice concludes, provided that the schach is done properly. That's a very, very strange statement. What do you mean the schach was done properly? Why would one think that if the schach was not done, kaloch would be okay? The Brice is telling you, chiddush akula, that the sukkah doesn't really have to be built by l'shem mitzvah. But just make sure that's the kosher sukkah. Why would that for a son kosher sukkah? The Michael Chazan. I'm Rav Chizda Vusha Asol with sale sukkah. Rav Chizda qualifies the Brisa by saying that the schach has to be done with sale sukkah for the purposes of shade of a sukkah. What in the world does that mean? What do the words mean? So says Rashi in the fifth of the Ramakamos. I'm Rav Chizda. Haiki Hilchasa de Ka'amar. Husha Mesuchaches Yofa. What it means is that you have to have a lot of schach on. Why do you have to put a lot of schach on? The shear is 51% schach. What is the chizda meaning? You have to put a lot of schach on. The mukha milsa shasiyasa rishona l'tzel hoisa v'lo l'tzniyus v'alma. Says Rashi, we didn't have a sukkah that was built by goyim, that was built by the shepherd. It was built for other purposes. You're always running the risk that sukkah was not made l'shem tzel. It wasn't made for the purpose of providing shade. Maybe the covering was put on just for tzniyos. People shouldn't see inside. The person on the rooftop, person on the top floor shouldn't see inside. But it wasn't really made to protect from the elements. And that's a problem, says Rashi. If the sukkah wasn't made with shame sale for the purpose of providing shade, that's potentially going to disqualify the sukkah. Now, how do you know whether a particular sukkah was made for sale for tzniyos? Rashi says, well, you measure the schach. So if I'm building a sukkah in the midst of sukkah, of course I'm building it for sukkah for sale. That's what the mitzvah is, to provide. To make a sukkah, l'shem tzel, l'shem mitzvah. But if I'm not making it l'shem mitzvah, I'm relying on the non-Jewish shepherd who built a sukkah in the middle of the desert or something, how do I know what his intention was? Maybe he threw the schach on top so that the other shepherd shouldn't see his animals. Maybe it wasn't made l'shem tzel. How do you know? Rashi says, the answer is, you look how much schach is there. If there's just a couple of branches here and there, not so much schach, even though it's technically more than 50%, but technically still to move mechamza, with such a flimsy covering, he probably didn't do it with shaved tail, and therefore the sukkah is no good. But if it's piled on, packed on with a lot of schach, then it's going to be okay. Rashi learns that the hushanev schachas kilchata is referring to the volume, referring to the amount of schach, and even though you have more than 51%, these kinds of sukkahs, that doesn't suffice, because you have to ascertain what the intent of the original person was as well. But now Rashi is bothered with the kasha. Rashi asks to himself, why do I care what the person's intent was? If the rule, you don't have to build the sukkah l'shem mitzvah, we just finished saying, the goy, I'm building the sukkah l'shem sukkah. What do I care that it was made l'shem tzel? Rashi goes on, the alpha gav the sukkah l'shem chag lo bo'ina. Even though we don't insist that you build the sukkah l'shem mitzvah chag sukkos, you don't need l'shem chag of all l'shem sukkah bo'ina. It has to be built for the purposes of sukkah. I didn't say the yom tov of sukkah. I said the purposes of a sukkah. And what does a sukkah mean? What's the absolute definition of a sukkah? The definition of the word sukkah means protection from the elements, protection from the sun, creating of shade. That's what, take a look at Halachapedia, that's what the word means. That the definition of the word sukkah refers to protection from chayr, from heat, from the sun. And therefore, the sukkah must be built for those purposes. Rashi just told us quite a chiddush about brisketayr. Rashi said that when you build the sukkah, so we're used to thinking, who cares the kavanah is kavanah. The sukkah is kosher anyway. It was built by goyim, it's kosher. It was built for the animals, everything is kosher. So why do I need kavanah? Because Rashi, you don't need kavanah in the sense like baking mass of the shem mitzvah. You don't need kavanah like ready and get l'shma. That's not the kind of kavanah that you need here. What you need is the building of a sukkah. A sukkah means a mokum tzel. it's not a makom tzeil, not for the purpose of tzeil, then it's called the psula min hatov. According to Rashi, this braisa, those words of husha sol tzeil, is telling me that make sure to put a lot of schach on. Don't be cheap. Don't be low on the schach. Put a lot of schach on just to prove to us that it was actually done on Hashem itself. So the Rosh in the sixth of the Mamakamot, the Rosh quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, in the exact opposite shot of Rashi. Take a look at the end of the sixth of the Mamakamot, the end of the second line. So Rabbeinu Tam, Piresh, Shasol Itzel, V'lo Me'uva, L'hoge Min Hamotar. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you know what Husha saw L'Tzel Sukkah means? Unlike Rashi, who said you have to put a lot of schach on, Rabbeinu Tam says, no, don't put on too much schach. Because if you put on too much schach, then it's going to turn out that the rain won't be able to come in, like Ari was referring to. There are no nails here, but it's just piled up too many layers of schach. Says Rabbeinu Tam, if it's so thick of schach that rain can't come in, then the whole sukkah is not acceptable. So therefore, you have to be careful. If I'm building a sukkah myself, a sukkah, so I know that I know I'm going to be careful. I'm going to build in such a way that the rain can come in. But if I'm relying on the shepherd's sukkah, relying on the goyim sukkah, relying on the women who built this just for fun in a little hut in the backyard, nobody doing it with shem mitzvah, don't just walk into that sukkah on Yom night and assume it's kosher. Better get up there on a ladder and see how much chach is there. Because if you have too much chach, it's going to be psula. And why is it going to be psula? Because it can't rain. And why is that a problem? This is part of the theory we said before. It's a problem because it becomes a binyan shel keva. And once it becomes a binyan shel keva, that's puzzle in Hilchos Sukkah. That's what Tosfos asked in Sugya. What do you mean it's puzzle in Sukkah? We just kept sitting saying that metal walls are okay. I have to binyan shel keva. So the answer is, you're right. In Hilchos Mechitzas, in Hilchos the funnest of the Sukkah, keva will not ruin it for you. Above 20 will ruin it. But making the materials keva will not ruin it for you. But in the schach, if the building materials of the schach, i.e. it's too thick, or if it's nailed in, it's something that's preventing the rain, then the sukkah is psula on a level of their right. So we have a major machlokes now, Rishonim, in Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Is there a maximum amount of schach on the sukkah? According to Rashi, the more the merrier, because one day, says Rashi, if you have too little schach, then we're not sure what you come up with. Throw and pile it on more and more and more. According to Rabbeinu Tam, don't pile it on more and more, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you pile it on a little bit too high, then you're going to end up with a potential issue of being in shel keva. So Tosfos had two rayas now to support their theory that too much chach pasul the sukkah. One was their way of reading this Gemara in Daschet, which is Rashi disagreed with. And the second way was when the Mishnah and Titus, when Titus says the simen klola, what's the simen klola? What's the simen klola? Just nail the chach on, pile it on so it doesn't rain in. It must be that would not be acceptable. So we said, other Rechavanim said, nah. You could have piled it on, but you didn't pile it on. So it's still considered to be a seven klala.
I'm not sure that keva is necessarily the same thing as protecting you from rain. It could only protect you for 2 days from rain, but to be very impermanent. It's a matter of what it's protecting you from.
So Tosfos is learning that the shia, I don't want to use the word shia like we used before, but almost the amount, the way to determine, is this keva or not? A house, you built a house in a way you're going to be protected from the rain. You build a sukkah in a way that it'll keep the shade in, it'll protect you from the sun. But once you build it to the point where it protects you already from the rain, that's already too much. That's already reached the point of keva. Again, whether that happened because it's too much chach, whether that happened because of the nails, whether it's even that way for a couple of days, that by definition, that objectively is called bidin shel keva. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's a no-no in the sukkah. You're right, it's not so much your function of the days, even though the guy planned. The building department told him this is coming down in a week from now. He knows it's coming down a week from now, but for this week, it's keva. This week, it can't rain in. That's also considered to be a bin shel keva. So getting back now to Agamara, once you accept Shita's Atosfos that it's possible to disqualify a super shel keva, then we go back to the old story. So what happens to the Nechitzas? So how come the Nechitzas shel bar is no good? According to Tosfos, that it's conceivable to possible a sukkah if it's too kavua, so just as it's conceivable to pass the sukkah if it's too kavu in terms of too much tzach, why can't we pass the sukkah if it has, so to speak, too many walls? It's too thick walls. Rashi said it can't be. Once the sukkah walls, once you have your minimum walls, you have your flimsy walls, adding on, making it thick is not going to hurt you. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, if adding tzach can hurt you, why can't making thicker walls hurt you as well?
So back to square one. What does the Gemara mean when it says mechita shabbos? According to Tosfos, why is it that mechita somehow doesn't bother us as the two kavuah? So we take a look at the seventh of the Maamar Kamos. The Ran has a fascinating insight to this dilemma. Says the Ran, literally, the mishum hachi mashbalan hachi. It would appear that this is the reason that we cannot disqualify metal walls. It is impossible to say shatur tetzave mashe'ev shalama nalov. Like you say in halacha, the Torah cannot give us something that we can't figure out. The Torah cannot give us a mitzvah that's impossible to fulfill properly. How in the world are we going to figure out whether our building material is too sturdy or not too sturdy? So it says the Ran, if you're going to tell me that the walls are too sturdy, they're going to last more than a week, therefore they're no good, how are you going to know that? What architect are you going to bring in? What engineer are you going to bring in to tell you that you built the sukkah, it's going to collapse in 7 days from now? And if it lasts the extra day, if it's too sturdy to last the extra day, then it's going to be possible. What kind of, how could the Torah explain? The Torah of Chesed, the Ruach HaKodesh. And the owner is going to have to come and check every sukkah. People come and ask me every year before sukkah, they have to check the sukkah, check the skach, check what's under the tree or not. So it's going to be a new job at the Rabbanim. They're going to have to go and measure the sturdiness of every wall and get the engineers in there and figure out, is this too sturdy, not sturdy enough? So they run to the chalam, sheyev shal shayah, they can't teach the shalacha. And therefore, mishum hachi mashbul, and therefore, because of the impossibility of why, therefore, it would appear to us, when the Torah gave us the mitzvah of Shivas Yom below Yos, yeah? The Torah never ever meant literally Shivas Yom below Yos. Yeah? What it meant is it has to be a Shio Shivas Yom below Yos. Yeah? That we can measure, that's already quantitative, that we can wrap our hands around. We can measure, take out our Amma yardstick, and we'll figure out 20 Amma is okay, more than 20 Amma is no good. But if it would have been the Torah, would have given us a din. So you have to measure the thickness and the sturdiness of the walls. That would have been impossible. That's what the Rashi inside into halacha. It's inconceivable. There should be a halacha. That's impossible to do. Very, very interesting insight. That's an insight of the Rashi. So at least we have a few different approaches in the Rishonim how we got to the point that the Mechit Shabbaz are okay. Everybody agrees Mechit Shabbaz are okay. No question about it. Mechit Shabbaz are okay. Gemara said it explicitly. How do we know why is that so? The Rashi took the approach that there's no way adding on to the minimum of a sukkah is going to ruin it for you. Impossible. Rashi said that approach both in terms of the schach and in terms of the zefanos. But according to Tosfos, who didn't accept that as an absolute statement of truth, who did entertain the possibility of adding on could ruin it for you, so we turned around the question and said, well, if adding on schach can ruin it for you, why can't adding on sturdiness of the walls can ruin it for you? So maybe we have to fall back on the sheet of Zeran, that somehow that detail, the sturdiness of walls, is such a devilish, yevshel shot, so impossible to measure, that could not possibly have been the Kavanah of Torah. So we have two different approaches in Rashi, Tosfos/Ran, as to how do we get to where we got to. Everybody agrees where we got to. The conclusion was, our final point of the sugya, not literally final, halfway point of the sugya, is that Mechit Shabazel or Sheiros. How do we know that? Rashi went down one approach, Tosfos went down another approach. Hope that's next week. We'll try to see there are other approaches that we've shown them to get to the same conclusion, each one opening up an entire new world for us. This is the schedule for...